Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 4. And you may want to take your Bibles, if you're really, really gifted, and turn to the book of James, chapter 4 also. We'll be going there. But the book of Luke, chapter 4. Let's stand together, if you would, the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 13. Luke, chapter 4. In verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, you may want to underline that in a little bit, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you would be with the Supreme Court justices and that they would make the right decision and not the politically correct decision. And Lord, we pray now that you would bless this church in Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 13, the devil departed for a season. May I quickly say this? He will be back. And he will continue to come back until he is cast forever into the bottomless pit. Revelation 12, 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." May I quickly say this, Satan will deceive you. He's been deceiving man for 6,000 years. The evolutionist is deceived. The abortionist is deceived. Those who believe that the gambling in Detroit and Windsor and throughout Michigan is all right, they're deceived. We live in a world that is deceived, and many times they are deceived willingly. James chapter 4, if you would, please. Keeping your place here in Luke, we will be back, but James chapter 4. And for whoever put the candy on the pulpit, thank you very much. Hershey's Bliss, dark chocolate. Man, I'm supposed to preach with these things staring at me. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. James 4, verse 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, 'The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy'? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, 'God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We found in our memorization verse today, and thank you, Brother Stephen, for doing that for us. We find that there is a way of escape. We know that from looking at the temptations that came Christ's way, he battled the temptation with Scripture. How important it is that we have the Word of God as part of our life. Ephesians 6, 11 and verse 16 also, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the temptations of the devil. They're coming your way. Don't ever think I'm beyond temptation. Some of you are being tempted right now. Some of you right now have things going on in your life that are tempting you to do wrong, and you know what they are. But you can be victorious. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, of that wicked one. May I say this? We need protection, lest we fall into the trap of the love of money. We live in a society that believes that money is the cure for all things. May I say this? I don't care how much money you throw at society, you will not cure its problems. The love of possessions will not bring us peace. The love of entertainment, and it is one of the gods of today to be entertained 24/7. Even at work, we want to be entertained. The love of importance, we want to feel important. Sometimes we want to be the best. The love of standing, our position in life. May the Lord protect us. The Bible there says, for a season, he will be back. Pray that the Lord will help you and turn to him for your defense. Verse 14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He had just been victorious. He had just beaten Satan at his game of temptation. He was victorious. I understand that the Michigan Wolverines won yesterday. Is that right? Yeah, go blue, I heard someone say. Yes. You know, we like someone to be the victor. Well, we like it when it's our team that's the victor. Wow, we have gone someplace here. But we find that the victory goes to those that stay close to the Lord. Those that are close to him will have victory. Victory over the evil one. Victory through the word of God. I'm going to do something different. We don't normally break into song in the middle of a sermon. But I'd like you to stand up and take your Bibles. This is a song that our church sings a lot of times on Sunday night to end the service. Now, if you don't know this song, hopefully you'll know when the right time is to hold up your Bible. Okay, are we ready? Here we go. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old, old book. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. I hope you believe that. His fame was spreading. His fame. Folks, I wish the fame of Jesus Christ was spreading through America once again, and that people wanted to hear Jesus Christ and wanted to hear the Word of God. Matthew 4, 24 and 25 says, and his fame went throughout all Syria, And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they followed him, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Are we a follower of Jesus Christ? Notice verse 15 as it continues there. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He taught in the synagogue, a Greek word meaning a place of assembly, a meeting house. Probably had originally began in homes in Babylon. And the house synagogues, like the early Christian churches, which met in homes after the exile, gradually developed into formal assemblies for instruction, public worship, and prayer. They replaced the temple worship, which was now no longer possible for the Jews who were scattered far beyond Palestine. And every town harboring a large number of Jews in the Greek-Roman world had its synagogue for worship and instruction in the law and the prophets. These were also the places for safekeeping of the Hebrew scriptures and were among the first places the Christian gospel was proclaimed. It was a common institution in the Roman world due to the dispersion of Jews around the Roman world. This Jewish institution was for the reading and exposition of the Holy Scriptures, especially the Pentateuch, for knowing the law was of great importance to the Jewish faith, and also the prophets, mainly Isaiah. We find here the congregation in the synagogue was divided, with the men on one side and the women on the other. And the more prominent members took the front seats. I wonder what that has to say about Baptists. Well, there's nobody on the front row. The service began with the recitation of the Jewish confession of faith, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And thanksgiving followed. The scripture lesson could be read by any member of the congregation, even children. Usually the reader stood. And if there was by chance a priest or Levite present in the worship service, they were given precedence. Notice verses 16 and 17. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And we'll look at that shortly. He has returned to his hometown of Nazareth. And as his custom was, as his habit was, it should be a habit to be in the house of God, with God's people, studying the Word of God. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This was his custom. This is how he had been brought up, and this is what he continued. Now, of course, we know the Jews worshiped on the Sabbath. We today worship on the first day of the week, on Sunday, for we believe that the Lord rose on a Sunday morning, and thus we worship on a Sunday. Jesus, being a hometown boy, with his fame growing, was given the privilege of reading the scriptures. And it says, and he opened the book. Now, they did not have chapters and verses. I could say, open the book to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2a, and we would find what he read. We could find that this is what he read. The question is, was this the portion that he was given to read, or was this the one he chose to read? Either way, it was about him. Verses 18, 19, and 20, he is quoting, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was to preach. He was to bring this message to the poor. May I say this, that before Christ, we are all poor. I don't care how big your portfolio is. I don't care how large your house may be. I don't care how many jewels or jewelry you have in your house. I don't care how nice your lawn is or how great your hair looks or what type of clothes you wear. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're poor. You're poor. And he has come that he could bring the gospel to the poor. The poor are often needy. They're searching for someone to care. And he cares. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. He came to minister to those who needed him. We find that he was sent to those who were in need of healing. Folks, we live in a society with many broken people. We live in a suicidal society. We live in a society where people go out and for no reason take guns and kill people. I heard this the other day there where Sandy Hook was, and they were talking about more gun control. Do you know that that man, when he took the gun to that school, broke 21 different laws? He broke 21 different laws. Do you think making two or three more laws would help? Folks, it is not the gun that needs to be brought to Christ. It's the person who has the gun. They're the ones that need to repent and get things right. We live in a society that is broken. It's broken by the pornography that runs rampant through our country. It's destroying our homes. It's destroying relationships. It is destroying men and today women. We live in a society where video games are becoming more and more violent. Is it any wonder we have violence in our streets? We live in a society where people kill one another because they can't get along with one another. We live in a broken society. In a society that loves the Lord, that loves Christ, we wouldn't need any gun laws. But the problem is that we want to do everything but come to Christ. We find that he preached repentance. He preached that the Messiah has come. He is preaching to broken hearts. He's preaching deliverance to the captives. We live in a society where people are being held captive by sin. You know, I'm amazed when they say, well, you're born to be a homosexual. That's a lie. That's just simply a lie. There are those who say that they're born to drink alcohol. That's a lie. Now, sin is in our lives, and we lust to do wrong. But God can give us the victory over evil. We live in a society that believes that we can live immorally. But that's what society says. Happiness does not come to families or couples who live immoral. We find that he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. We live in a bruised society. But may I say this, Christ was bruised for your iniquities. He was bruised for your sins. And may I say this, there are those who will follow Christ who will be bruised because they have followed the Lord. They will be persecuted. And persecution goes on now in many parts of the world of born-again believers. Pray that it doesn't come here. But if it does, are you willing to make a stand for Christ? You know, they say persecution purifies. Let me ask you this. If you knew there was a chance that right now that someone could come in under the authority of the law and take us all to prison for being in a place that proclaimed Christ, would you be here today? Amen. See, there would be many who would say, well, no, I don't want to be put in jail. But that day may come and you might have to make a choice. Amen. He came He read. He sat down. See, the first part that he read dealt with the first advent. He didn't read the second part of verse 2 of chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah, where it talks about his second advent. The day had come for the Lord to proclaim the word of God. May I say this, may this church always proclaim the word of God. As we have just a few moments left, do you know the Lord is your Savior? It's one thing to be in a church, but do you love the church? Now you say, well, why should I love the church? Because Christ died for the church. He died for the church. He died for you. How is your relationship with him today? He offers his unspeakable gift. Have you taken his unspeakable gift? May I say this? There are two paths that people can travel. The one that leads to destruction, it's a broad way, and many, the Bible says, travel it. And there is a narrow way that leads to life eternal. On which path are you today? Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." The Lord would have us on the narrow path, leading us to life eternal. On which path are you today? Are you right with the Lord? We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment to come to the altar, or if you cannot bow down at the altar, to sit in the front pew. But have you made the right choice? Is there something in your life that you need to give over to the Lord? Is there something in your life you need to remove so that you can serve him more faithfully? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for these words where Christ, because it was his custom, went to the house of God. May it be our custom to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.